When I see Slash on the map, I just have a tendency of just being like, bro, Slash, just chow him. You know what I'm saying? Like, but nah, Austin's my boy, but definitely him. I don't know, for some reason I just have like a delusional ego against him, because I feel like the way he plays, it's like he hates when subs run up close to him and just get like those close range gunfights with him. So I think he hates like having that situation happen. So, and I tend to try to make that happen to him as much as I can.
What about Clay? Do you feel the same? Chill, Murray. All right, welcome back to the CODcast Friendly Fire. Today we got AG. Welcome. How you doing, brother?
Good, boys. How you guys going, man? How you guys going?
Doing good, man. Jay, how you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling great. LeBron is getting ready to play here pretty soon, so it's a good day. You know, I had a great, fantastic weekend with my family, with my daughter. So it's been an eventful weekend. Now we're going into a restart on the weekend. We got the podcast with AG to start it off, bro. It's about to be lit.
Yeah, bro. Pred, how was your weekend?
No, it was good, man. It was a must win against Boston. So for us, it was very important to get the win, man. You know, obviously we didn't get to practice much since after the major, I had to go back to Australia for like personal reasons. So we're kind of under practiced heading into this major. So
yeah,
which kind of sucks because, you know, obviously the last two tournaments we've played in, we kind of did choke in a few situations. I mean, we lost to round 11 for top three. But heading into those tournaments, I mean, we went 4-1, both splits. I mean, you know, we 3-0 phases beat Toronto. We beat some good teams to get there. But yeah, it kind of sucks. We just came under practice this major.
Yeah, we'll get into the nitty gritty of everything here in a bit. But I just kind of want to start off with like, man, you year two being on a pro level, you've obviously ascended. Like, I think you're better than you were last year, which is pretty crazy to even think about. How's the season been, man? How's it treating you? How are you finding competition? Like, mentally, are you in a good spot? Talk to me about the ups and downs of the season and how you're getting through it, man. Year two.
Year two in the league. Man, it's going quick. Honestly, for me, it was I knew that I had a pretty good Vanguard year. So for me, I knew as an individual, I had to, you know, step it up a bit and keep progressing. I didn't want that to be like my final peak. I wanted to keep pushing myself to make sure I can get better and evolve my game.
Yeah.
So for my mentality, it was just, you know, it was driven simply off the fact of like, you know, I can be better. You know, like I was good last year, but I know I can be better. So I just try to improve with some things, especially my S&D. I feel like last year my S&D wasn't as good as it was. So that's something that I really try to improve on. I feel like that was something that was holding me back. But yeah, that's something that I personally worked on myself. But the year's been good, man. You know, ups and downs, you know how it is with us Seattle boys. But yeah, man, other than that, everything's good, man. Just keep grinding.
That's crazy to hear that you say that you were just trying to improve off of last year, because your rookie year was insane, bro. Like, you came in and you were taking down some of the best teams in the game. You were looking like the best player in the game in your very first year. So what were the things that you had to work on going into your sophomore year, bro? Because I thought your rookie year was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, for the main thing was S&D. Respawn-wise and all that type of stuff, decision-making, like being, you know, calm in certain situations, my mentality towards the game, like all that was good. I feel like it was just S&D, honestly, like, which is good for me. I didn't have to worry about too many things. I just had to play my game. But the S&D part, I just really needed to evolve, which I knew would help my team. So that's something that obviously heading into the year, we're still focusing on our main stuff. But then once we, you know, went in that S&D drought, couldn't win a game in S&D, I really, really like started pushing myself to make sure that doesn't happen again.
So what have you been working on in S&D though? Like, what's the things that you've been doing in Search and Destroy to get you better in that mode?
For me, it's just mainly like finding out like routes that I can take, you know, how to play certain situations, you know, when it's a 2v2, what I should do, how to get bloods, how to stay alive after I get my blood. Just simple stuff, knowing teams' tendencies, like what players like to do on the other team, knowing what I can take, what I can't.
Yeah.
Just simple stuff like that, man. Just, you know, if I know a player likes to do this, I know I can hit this lane. You know, after I get that kill, where's the next guy going to be coming from? I sort of have an idea pictured before the round even starts. So that's how I like to play my S&D, just one step ahead, which I feel like I wasn't doing before.
So, Pred, we're going to unpack more of the Call of Duty stuff here in a bit. But I kind of want to ask you, like, all right, so obviously let's rewind a little bit. You are in Australia and you're competing in the APAC region, right? And were you competing during the CWL days, like when they had the different regions? Like BO4, were you competing?
I wasn't competing. I wasn't competing then.
When did you start?
I started competing in Modern Warfare.
You started competing in Modern Warfare? You're this good?
Yeah, that's when I. That's when I. Sense. That's when I. I mean, nah. I played like I played like little tournaments and stuff when I was like under 18. I was playing like little tournaments and stuff, but Modern Warfare when I was actually able to play in like cups and stuff like that.
Wait, how old are you, Pred?
Me, I'm 21 right now.
Okay, so hold on. Nah, this guy was created in a lab, bro. There's no way. Wait, you weren't compete. You start competing MW. Okay, so all right, I gotta know this. So how'd you were playing S&D tournaments and you just figured out that there was like a whole pro scene or what?
No, I mean, I knew there was a pro scene from like a while back, but I barely played. I played, but I really didn't. I don't know. I can't really explain. I never scrim. I only started scrimming until Black Ops 4, but I quit halfway through that year. Okay. I don't know, I barely play. I'll be honest, I didn't really play COD as much as people probably think. I mean, my hours compared to probably like some pros is probably insane. IW, I didn't play the whole game. Black Ops 3, I didn't play. I only played half of it. Black Ops 4, I only played half of it. Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And then I just Modern Warfare came, and I got picked up by the best Australian team. But that's because in Black Ops 4, I was frying everyone. And then I quit because I wasn't able to go to any tournaments.
Nah, bro. Pred was on like an Alt account or something playing on a VPN.
No, God, bro. There's he no had to be yacked up.
He's, just reimagined himself. All right. So anyway, so you start playing at MW. By the way, yeah. For people listening, this is not a normal come up. Like most people are not going to, most people are not going to find this much success like that early. But anyway, so you're nasty. You figured out throughout MW, obviously make some moves at the next like year and a half. And then you get picked up by a team. Like sort of, I guess, found you? Like when did you get your first buzz where you noticed like, oh, people are starting to learn about who I am?
So it actually happened at the end of Modern Warfare. Because I went to an international LAN, the Minnesota Open, before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And my team came top three or top four, sorry, at the tournament. And I remember I was frying teams, like pro teams and scrims. I was frying like AMs. I was super frying them, and I think someone noticed me. Like, I have an agent now, which is my agent called Steve Wang. He noticed me. He picked me up as one of his clients. Wow. And basically, at the end of Modern Warfare, I was going to join Vegas. It was going to be me, Paco, Denz, and Zed. We're going to be playing for Vegas Legion or
you
Paris
and Paco.
Legion at the time.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh my God! All right, anyways.
Fumbled that, bro. It's like imagine Pred and Hydro on the same team right now.
Yeah. Me and Paco. No, me and Paco were like literally sitting in team calls and like looking at like Airbnbs that we're gonna live at and stuff like that. Wow. We're gonna like that's how deep it was. Like we're looking at Airbnbs and we're about to move. Like I was about to move across the world and then some visa issues had and then they wanted like a French team or something like that. And anyways, it ended up falling through and Paco didn't end up going to the team. So then I had to play another year in Australia, and then I got hit up by Brendan Nervous Vita and Sam Phoenix. They told me, yo, we're going to be the GM and the coach of Seattle. We want you on our team. And that's how it all started. They just approached me.
So they approach you. They figure, so all that stuff happens, and you get on a team, and you're like, all right, I'm on a CDL team. Like, and this all happens so fast. You come to the U.S. How was it? Was it your first time coming to America when you – well – I guess that tournament was right.
The tournament, the M tournament. Yeah,
that was your first time coming to the U.S.
America now.
Yeah. Like for that tournament, I went to Detroit and I stayed there for like 2 weeks. We like boot camped for like Team Renegade. So
damn, that's a pretty bad first impression of the U.S.
To be honest, I stayed in a nice place in Detroit. It's actually really nice. I stayed in like some bougie area. But was gonna say, but yeah, now moving to the States, like living here and knowing that I'm gonna be living here for 6 months and leaving my family was actually like. Honestly, it was actually like it didn't really like click in until I was on that plane. Yeah. Like once I was on that plane and I knew, I'm like, damn, like I'm about to meet people I've never met. I'm about to live on my own for the next 6 months. I don't know anyone. Everyone probably thinks I'm some Australian kid that doesn't even know how to play the game. You know what I'm saying? Like there was a lot of like thoughts going through my mind. But like I have super confidence in myself. I know Stud knows that. Yeah, like I have super, super confidence in myself. So I knew like as soon as I get
think
the
everybody
opportunity,
knows that.
Yeah. Like I was gonna get I knew once I got the opportunity, like I was gonna kill it. Like I knew I was gonna do well. For me it was just more about like building a relationship with my teammates and like my coaches and stuff. Just make sure that like because I need people there. I can't just do that stuff by myself, you know what I mean? I need like some sort of support system. So for me that was important. But leaving my family behind and stuff was crazy, man.
Nah, yeah, that's gotta be tough, AG, to fly all the way across the world. Play competitive Call of Duty. Obviously, you know what your skill is, but you don't really know how your story is going to develop whenever you 100%. Move in, man. But
because people are in and out, right? Like people come people in and out of the league, out, you never know. So that's a big, big leap, man. It's crazy. Go ahead, Jay.
Nah, so when you first got like on the plane, you landed in Seattle.
No, it was Dallas.
Yeah, you're in Texas. My bad. But now you're landed in. You're all soaked in. You're ready. You're locked into America now. What was like your big first purchase? What was your first?
Yeah, no, because we're leaving out one part though, Jay. He got a contract too. He got the contract too.
You got some chicken.
So I know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you come from money or anything like that, but I do know that like it's you get a contract with CDL, you're getting some decent cash. So
yeah.
So how was that?
I'll be honest, that's what my family didn't even believe anything I was telling them the whole time. Like when I'm like, yo, I'm about to be living in America, they're like, they didn't even believe me. They just kept ignoring it because I come from a family where it's like very like European. They didn't really believe in like gaming and stuff. For them, it's more like sports and school. Yeah. So they didn't really believe it. I mean, honestly, they were trying to prevent me from playing because they thought I was wasting my time. But once they saw the contract and once they saw that I was actually going overseas, and they're like, holy shit, like this is actually real. Like he's gone now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like then for them, it started clicking in. But my first ever purchase, I actually went to the mall in Dallas and I actually got a pair of LV sunglasses. That was my first purchase. Went in there.
How'd you feel in the LV store? You were walking around like I'm ready to get something or what? How was it? Nah.
Oh man, I love that. I'm a frequent spender though. I'm a frequent spender at the LV stores and the Dior stores. Like I always go there. But when I go to Dallas, that was definitely my first welcome to the league vibe purchase.
So when you were in Australia though, so I know that the food is completely different in Australia than it is.
Yeah, it's healthier.
What was that like, bro? Like, what was it, like the first thing that was just like, yo, this shit is hitting, bro. I'm getting it every day. Like,
it was Chick-fil-A, bro. Holy shit. Bro. When I got my hands on that, bro, I said, bro, this is dangerous, bro. Like, late night when I'm hungry, bro, like this shit is gonna be busting, bro. I had to make sure that I was like kept myself away from that stuff because I knew like it's so easy to fall in that trap of just eating that stuff, man. But I'm not even kidding. I tried every single thing out there. Like I made my like one of my rules. Like I had to try every single one out. And Chick-fil-A, by far when I first got it, was like I would always sneak it in like twice a week.
Hell yeah.
That's crazy because you couldn't even go on Sundays too, bro. So every week. Chick-fil-A be smacking noisy.
It's insane.
It's crazy because everybody who comes here from like the UK or Australia or whatever, they always go Chick-fil-A's fire. What are they putting in Chick-fil-A, bro? Because it does slap. Yeah. I got one like 2 minutes from the crib, so I'm there all the time.
That's insane, bro. I don't know what it is. I think it's a sauce, bro.
It's gotta be
it's gotta be the sauce, bro.
All right, so Brett. So now you've been here for a bit, right? You're adapted to the U.S., the schedule, everything like that. You've been frying. Walk me through a week in the life of Pred. A normal week, like league match week. Walk me through that.
League match week. Okay, so recently I've been kind of in and off my gym grind, but if I'm on my, like if I'm being on top of my stuff, I like to go to the gym in the morning. I just do like cardio for an hour.
Hold on. By morning, what time is that?
Like around maybe 10 a.m.
Oh, really? Okay, that's better than what I thought.
Yeah, I'll drink like a black coffee in the morning. Tastes so bad. And then I'll just jump on the treadmill for like an hour. After that, then we'll usually get to practice around 12 o'clock, do like a VOD session for an hour, shoot some bots, do some 2v2s, then we'll scrim the whole day. Then as we scrim, I'll come home. I'll probably cook some food for myself, probably cook some chicken and rice.
Nice.
After I eat that, I'll probably go to the gym again, lift some weights. If not, I'll probably stream, play some eights and ranked. And that's honestly what I'll do Monday to Friday. And then whenever we have that match, I probably won't go gym that day. I'll probably just, you know, just relax, go to the facility whenever we have to be there and just warm up and lock in. That's usually what I do every week.
So everybody listening, all you AMs out there, this is the play. That's all you do, right? Because I know it's a lot of people out there that are not working out, that are not cooking themselves meals, that are probably ordering in a lot. This is how you have a longer career. That's actually pretty typical out of you. Was that something that you were doing prior to coming here? Because I know you said...
No, I wasn't. I honestly wasn't because my mom was always cooking for me. So everything was easy when it came to that. Like my mom would just make me whatever I needed. I'd go to the gym whenever I needed. I was on a different schedule, but back home I was like, I used to go to school and stuff like that. So I was on a different schedule, but now I have so much more time in the morning because we start practice around 12. So like you have that whole morning to do whatever you want. And I feel like if you get in a good like cardio session, you just feel good throughout the day. And then, you know, when you come back home and it's very important to eat healthy, man. Like if you eat bad and you're just going to feel so bad, man, you have no fuel. I mean, like for me, I want to give my body as much the best fuel I can. So I always try, you know, make myself nice food and keep myself on top of my workouts and stuff like that.
What do you do, like, hobbies? Do you have any hobbies? Like, I know you watch a lot of sports, but, like, do you go out and do stuff? Like, do y'all, I don't know, do you guys go play tennis or something? Like, I don't know.
We play basketball, like, almost all the time. Me and
really? That's dope.
Yeah, we play basketball.
Who's the worst? Who's the worst on the squad?
Oh, Lamar Accuracy of Betty.
Really? I feel like he's the big build, bucket, bro. Right?
Yeah, like, nah. Oh, you would think. He's pretty tall. You'd think
that's
he's
like Rudy Gobert out there. Come on.
Nah.
Wait, so Mac got the skies? What you telling me, AJ?
No. Max could actually get a jumper. But he doesn't really move much.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, do y'all go ball like a gym, like a Lifetime or something?
No. Honestly, like literally, like right across the street, there's like a court in the outside court. We just literally just after practice, everyone goes to their rooms, quickly get something to eat, and then we just put some clothes on. Then we walk to the court. We play for like an hour.
2v2 or versus randoms?
No, 2v2. We play 2v2.
Okay.
It's actually so hard.
Don't tell me it's you and Dante versus Lamar.
No. That'd be impossible. That would never happen.
What are the teams? What are the fairest teams?
It's me and Mac versus Dante and Lamar.
Okay, bet.
Oh, so y'all not getting no boards?
Yeah, it's not really. I'll be honest though, it's not Lamar getting the boards. It's Dante. That guy does everything. He will shoot, get his own rebound, shoot, get his own rebound. He just never stops running.
He's bully like, ball out there. That's
crazy. He's just unlimited stamina.
Well, hell yeah.
That's what we do.
Sounds like you guys have a good like life work balance because you got to keep that. I mean,
for sure.
That's good.
Yeah, we play basketball, get dinners, stuff like that. We always try, you know, we always hang out outside the game.
Good. So now as the second season is sort of getting towards the end, as you reflect upon like this season now, like I would say, you know, the next year or two, you'd be entering like your vet phase. What experiences have you learned, like valuable experiences? What have you learned throughout this season?
Some experiences that I've learned is definitely, you know, the composure side of things. I mean, there's definitely times where you're going to be at tournaments or even in matches where it's going to be high intense moments. And there's times where you need to, control your energy in a way. I feel like that's something that's very important. You don't want to over-energize things or you don't want to under-energize. I feel like you need to find that perfect balance where your teammates can focus at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Because I know me personally, like, bro, when I'm, like, piecing, like, I'm going crazy. Like, I'm roaring. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that's really good. Sometimes that is really good, but there's times where you need to calm the game down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's something that I've definitely learned. Just like understanding that when there's times to do it. I mean, when you get a 4-dead and you know exactly where they're going to be, then you can roar. But when it's a kind of a, like, you know, awkward situation where you're missing one, you know what I'm saying? You want your teammates are trying to talk to each other, find out where he is, like trying to like understand when to use that energy and not. So I think that's something that I've personally learned.
Good. Yeah. I feel like we talked to Doug and Dashy about this. Like when people are like screaming comms, bro, it gets toxic. Like it's super hard. Like, I guess it's a team to team thing, but yeah, I mean, I think that's something I realized like about at like 21, 22.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember me and Jay having a long convo about like how to approach that, like how you fix that. When I watch you guys, I don't feel like you guys ever get like overly hyped though. Like everybody on your team is like really, really chill. Like Lamar's usually super like chill and focused. Dante, I don't know if I've ever seen Buddy smile. And then and then Mac, I don't know, he looks like he's a hostage at all times. So
We definitely get loud sometimes. It's like I said, it's mainly me that gets super loud.
Yeah, it's you.
But as a team, we have a decent balance. Like sometimes Matt gets super loud with me. It all depends. Like we have a decent Matt usually does, especially at tournaments. But it all depends really on like what's going on. But usually I'm the one that's just roaring, bro.
Do you wish they had more of that? Like your teammates, and this is no knock, just like, do you wish they maybe had more of that like warrior spirit, kind of like let's kill these guys, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to get that sometimes.
To be honest, we kind of do, Dante does bring it. We honestly do bring it sometimes. Like they may not show it like from you guys watching, but like us comms, like as we're sitting there, I get that vibe. Like when we're at tournaments, we're sitting in that setup, like I get that vibe. Like, yo, like we're about to, you know, about to go in, like ready to war.
Yeah. Yeah. You think that feeling makes you play better?
Or not? For sure. Yeah. For sure.
When you just 100%. Have that confidence, like
man. When you go in, you know like everyone's ready for war, like that's a feeling that's like I'm down, like I'm ready.
You got any like pregame rituals, AG?
Is that not really, man. Honestly, not really. I just listen to my music. I have to listen to music before. I feel like music puts I switch it up. I listen to Lil Baby, I sometimes listen to that Boogie. I switch it up, but mainly Lil Baby. Lil Baby's usually my favorite.
I'm glad you didn't say Young Boy.
Nah.
I was about to say. All right. All right. So next thing we have on here is this is an interesting one. How have you taken in like sort of the community and everybody considering you one of the best in the world? Like it's all over Reddit all the time. Whenever you guys are playing matches, like Pred's the GOAT, like he pops off. Mm-hmm. Is it like something you've had to like consciously be like, let me not let my ego get too big? And also on top of that, like really, how's it feel to be considered that? I mean, that's a special thing when the community appreciates you, you know?
No, 100%. I mean, the community's always been so good to me. I feel like they've always, you know, put me in a high scale on the players. I mean, I've always been regarded as one of the best players. So for me, it's honestly a blessing that my game is getting noticed as, you know, one of the best. I mean, getting to hear that and knowing that myself, and like, you know, when you know you're the best, but then you get that like people signing off on it, like they see your game and people understand that like he's that guy. Like then you get even more confidence. So for me, it's you know, it means the world. I mean, I put a lot of work into my craft, so I want to be the best, and I feel like I have the ability to be the best. I just obviously got to keep improving, but you know, I feel like I'm definitely there, man. Definitely there.
And yeah. Adrian, how do you continue to stay like inspired to play at such a high level? Because when I look at your guys' team, you guys are one of the best respawn teams in the game. Like you guys can go toe to toe with anyone. You guys lacked off in the beginning of the year in Search and Destroy. So it hasn't been sunny skies for you guys all year long, but you have been the consistent factor regardless when it comes to the respawn. Even when you guys were on a 15 S&D losing streak or really close to breaking that L record, you were still holding like a 1.2 KD in S&D. So how do you continue, even when stuff is not going your way, to play at such a high level?
And Pred, before you answer this, I really want a genuine answer here, because this is something I really want to know this, like, because it's hard. Like, we both played, we know how it is. When your team sucks and you're playing good, you feel like it's these tough motherfuckers are ass. How am I supposed to win it? And it's easy to lose motivation. I'm not saying your teammates are ass. I'm just saying it's like when you're playing like that, sometimes in your mind, those things cross your mind, right? You might not say it publicly. Yeah. So you have graciously went through this. I'll be honest. I'll tip my hat to that, because I haven't seen you blow up on your teammates ever as opposed to other people. So I want to know, like, seriously, how you do that.
Look, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's obviously very tough. You know, when I feel like I'm at a peak and I feel like I'm performing at a very high level, and like when the team's not winning and we're not doing this, like for me, it's just like if I fold and I start, you know, being negative about it and I start thinking, oh, this person's doing this, this person's doing that, I feel like it's just going to make the whole situation a lot worse. So for me, it's very important to, you know, try keep a cool and calm head and understand the process. You know, like maybe I'm at a level and maybe other people are still getting to that level. We gotta try as a team to figure it out, how we can make it work. You know what I'm saying? So one thing that's really important about our team is we can tell each other anything. We're very open. We're like good friends. So, you know, like people understand. It's not like a secret. Like we always speak about it to each other. So for me, it's been very important to just keep a clear head. I feel like I can't get, you know, stuck in the, and all the stuff that's going on. Like, I just got to make sure that I keep improving my game, and hopefully that as I keep getting better and keep improving, the team as well as improving as a collective. So for me, it's very important just to keep a clear head.
It's one of those interesting things, and that's a very mature answer, because it's like sometimes if you're like one of the best or the most naturally gifted player on your team, you'll be in these situations and you're just like, why can't you do what I do? And I think some people don't learn, like, until later in their career, like, you're just better than the other person, so they can't do what you do, right? So it's hard to navigate. So, you know, after pointing that out, like, how do you help your teammates sort of improve? Obviously, mechanically, you're a little more gifted than some of your teammates. So in order for them to work through their stuff sometimes, like, what are things you do as a teammate to prop them up?
So what I like to do is, like, for example, like Mac, we both play the same role. We're both SMG players, like, I always tell him, like, bro, like, if you have a situation where, you know, you're pushed out on a cut, I try to give him like an idea on how I play that cut and how I read the situation. So like when he's in that situation, he has a bit of an understanding on how to play and what the best angles are, just stuff like that. I always try to give him like ideas on, like, yo, like, for example, if I'm playing here, I like playing it like this. They usually come from here. Once you get that kill here, they can be here, care like this. So I try to give him a sort of like a flow understanding, just so he gets a bit of an understanding. And then, I don't know. I do a lot of VOD research as well. I like to see what other teams are good at, what hills they're good at.
Yeah.
I think as a team we do that. But for me, I know a lot of players and teams' tendencies, which is like something that I try to tell my teammates to understand as well, which is really important. I mean, And for me, that's mainly how I try to tell them to get better. I mean, I'm not going to – everyone in the league can shoot straight. It's more about the mental side. So
yeah,
just how you understand the map and your awareness. I think that's the most important.
So, AG, for a guy that has as much talent as you do, I'm just wondering where it all started from. Like, where did it all start? Like, what game were you playing? And was there, like, a specific guy that you saw that you were like, oh, I can probably do what that guy does? Because your play style is very unique. How did you develop your play style? Like, who was the guy, I guess, on your come up that you were watching? Like, oh, I want to do exactly what that guy does, but at a different level.
You know what's crazy? I haven't replicated anyone's gameplay, which is kind of crazy. Like, I never watched anyone and been like, yo, I'm going to do what he's doing. I've actually never done that. Like, at all. Like, it's kind of crazy to think, honestly, when I think about it now. I actually never actually generally watched, like, a pro or anything like that and been like, I'm going to do exactly what he's doing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. For me, it's just been like, I'm just going to go get my kill. Like, I know how to get my kill. I'm going to go play it. I'm going to go play it my way. And I've always been like that. So I think that's why people, when they see me my gameplay, they're like, he doesn't look like anyone that we know. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like I said, it's very unique. So honestly, I kind of naturally just picked it up. I'll be honest. I didn't really... Yeah, I mean, I didn't really watch anyone and be like, oh, wow, that's a really good route. Wow, that's a really good, like, I just started doing it. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's so crazy to say, bro, because you got to think. All the pro players that are coming up nowadays watch former pro players from back in the day. But you were in Australia. It's a totally different division over there. Like, you probably didn't get a chance to watch all these up-and-comers like Skump play, who I think you have a great, great, like, just side-by-side when it comes to gameplay with the pre-aiming, with the taking better map positioning. Yeah. I feel like you do that so
you
well.
You would have worked well in other games, like the way that he plays. It would have translated really well back in the day.
It's just so crazy to me. Like, when did you realize, like, what Call of Duty was it? Like, what Call of Duty started off for you? Like, oh, I can go out here and be an absolute slayer, bro.
It was honestly probably Ghost. Honestly,
when I was playing all the way back then, bro. You're probably like 12.
Yeah, I was like 13, but I was playing like I was playing plumbers though, bro. I was playing plumbers. Like,
wait, hold on.
Like
the pros in that game could have still been playing, all right? If we was making 300.
I can't remember who I was playing, but like people in Australia, I don't know who I was playing, but
yeah,
like,
you were playing plumbers for sure in Australia. Yeah,
that's my guy.
Yeah, so I was definitely that's when I started getting, like, noticing myself get really good, because I was playing against the top Australians and I was frying them. Like, because even some, like, I'm pretty sure an Australian team came, like, T4, like, Dens and someone.
Yeah, Luca
champs.
And them. His name
and
was,
you're 13 years old. Keep that in mind. You're 13 years old. You want to bring some grown-ass men where they were already professional. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I was playing and I noticed, like they just came fourth in the world, like, at champs. I'm like, man, I'm like, maybe they're not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I was like, damn, like, I'm kind of fronting them. And then the next game came out and I played it again. And, like, I kept noticing myself getting better slowly. But to be honest, I never took it seriously, though. I'm like, damn, I'm fine. But, like, I play, like, maybe 3 times a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't really playing as much. But World War II is when I actually took the game serious for, like, 4 months. And I was trying so hard. I think two Australian teams made the Pro League. I remember playing them and I just remember frying them. Like,
Fido, Luca, I remember those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even the Tain of Mind team, stuff like that.
I wrote them too.
But yeah, that's when it started. I just started playing some pro Australian teams that were, like, playing in, overseas. And I just noticed myself doing well against them. So I always thought that I could do it if I took it serious.
That's crazy, bro. You're sitting there 14, 15, 16 years old.
You know what,
just giving it to these players, bro. That's nuts, bro.
You know what, though? I kind of, like, I relate to that a little bit, because when I started playing COD, it was COD 2, and there was a bunch of old men playing, and I was 12 years old, and I ended up joining one of, like, the better teams. Mm. Like, sometimes, like, you just naturally have it, and that's kind of what it sounds like with you, because you just naturally were just good. It's just kind of crazy, because you're naturally just good after there's been, like, 8 years of people playing Call of Duty at a pro level, so that's super, super typical.
And it's not like he was taking it serious the entire time, bro. He just said that he only took it serious for 4 months during World War II. He jumped from Ghost when he was about 12, 13 years old and lacked off the next couple of years until World War II came out. Yeah. Like, really locked in for 4 months.
So did you watch the Australian teams when they were over here? Like, did you know any of them?
Yeah, no, I did. I watched the Dan Shocks, Fighter, Buzzer. Like, I watched them play overseas. I watched the Tanner Mines boys playing World War II. I used to watch them. Like, I generally loved watching them. Like, I was very interested to see, like, the people that I play against, how they're doing against the pros. Obviously, like at times, I obviously got super fried. But I was like, "Damn, like, these Americans must be godlike." You know what I'm saying? Like, that's yeah. what I was thinking.
Did you go to the tournament that they had over there? We had one tournament there, only optical.
No,
Crown Invitational.
No, that was Black Ops 3. I was like 16 or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I didn't end up going, but there was I remember that was tournament Australia, but I didn't end up watch the game.
So obviously, it's not as big in Australia, the COD esports scene, but yeah. Have you had any like Australian fans reach out to you and be like, this is super cool? Or any of the former Australian pros like Buzzo, Fida, Luca, Shox, these guys reach out to you and sort of like show their support at all?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I played with Shox, Fida, and Luca in Cold War before I came pro in Vanguard. So I was teaming with them three. And you know, they gave me super support. I mean, they told me how the league is, like stuff like that. They gave me a bit of insight because they played in the league in Modern Warfare for Paris. So they gave me super support. All the people in Australia always messaged me, supporting me. They always watch my games. They have Discords where they all just sit in live chats watching me.
That's so dope.
They give me support, man. I appreciate it a lot. So whenever I come back to Australia and I play like an eights there, like nowadays, like when I go back to Australia for like Christmas and stuff, I go play an eights.
You're probably,
it's actually hilarious. Yeah, they go so hard. I'm playing like
you're
a reggae.
Straight up frying.
Yeah, they're going so hard. I just got a bit of music in, like just playing, like they're going so hard.
Of course they're going hard. They're like, wait, I got to fry Pred.
Yeah.
100%. All right, so I feel like I learned a lot about your comp stuff, but I want to talk about the current year.
Now.
Yeah, so Seattle Surge. I mean, you guys, I feel like you started the season pretty good. I mean, obviously, good performance. 2023 hit, and it just hasn't been that great. I know it's been tough for you guys to talk about and stuff and work through, but I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit. In your head, if you're like, sum up what the issue is, like, what is the primary issue with you guys in your LAN performances?
Honestly, I mean, if you think about it, right, Major 1, we came second. Very good. Major 2, I mean, we had all that optic stuff. I mean, which is obviously, you know, we were heading in. Like, I ended up staying in Australia for a week longer because, I mean, I didn't know what team I was on.
You didn't know
I
didn't what you
know,
doing, yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to be. So I'm like, there's no point in me even coming back. I'm not going to even be scrimming. I'm not going to be doing anything. So we had to wait out that process. We were all, like, sort of, like, I was planning to be on optic. My teammates were planning to play with other players. So, like, everything was happening. So, and then all of a sudden, we had to all, like, come back together and be like, yo, we're still a team. We got to, like, practice now. So Major 2 is always going to be tough. So, which obviously ended up to us having that result. Major 3, I mean, we went 4-1. We had an amazing online split. We beat two top teams in it. We beat Toronto and FaZe. We played really good. You know, we went round 11 with FaZe for top 3. I mean, if we win that series, we're top 3. We're in the winner's final. Who knows what happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be playing Toronto in the winner's final.
Fine, bro.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, we had it insane. Like, that tournament, we could be top 3, potentially in the final. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's, like, very... And then we came against... We lose that round 11, which is so, like, tough. A tough way to lose. And then we have to literally, 30 minutes later, we have to load in and go play against Optic in front of the green wall. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it was a tough back-to-back. You know what I'm saying? So... We were obviously mentally compromised heading into that match. Obviously, we tried our best to regain, but it was obviously very tough. So we lose to them. We load into the next online qualifiers. We go 4-1 again. So another very good online qualifier. We get to the LAN. We play FaZe round 1. We lose to FaZe. We play to FaZe, lose to FaZe. We beat them in online a week ago, 3-0. And then they beat us on LAN 3-1, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we lose to FaZe. Very tough. We play LAG. We beat them. And then we play Minnesota Rocco. We're up 2-0. There's 15 seconds left of control.
In the control,
2-0 in the control. 15 seconds left for us to win 3-0 in the control and 3-0 and just move on and play New York for T4. They end up winning that round, winning that map, winning the next map. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's just a collapse, bro. Like,
is the big twist, dude.
It's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're heading into these tournaments looking good. We're well prepared. And we just get to the tournaments and we just broke down. I mean, as simple as that. We just broke down.
So why though?
I mean, I don't know. It's a question when you look at the minimap, you're like, bro, if we just aim this one door for another 3 more seconds, we just shoot the guy that comes out and we win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's as simple as that. It's like, you can't sit there and like deconstruct the whole map. It's like, bro, we played perfect. We made that mistake. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just tough, man.
And now that takes me into the discussion where, like, all right, we've seen four stages, almost five stages complete now.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of talk about Seattle Surge. Like, you guys have you guys have Civ. You guys are basically the all-stars for your team. Accuracy and Mac are probably a little bit inconsistent here and there. But there was always a lot of outside noise coming to this roster. There was multiple situations where me, as a caster for you guys, I thought that you guys were in an opportunity to potentially make a roster change.
Yeah.
But you guys simply do not make that roster change. Is it?
Yeah.
It's obviously not due to talent, because I know all you guys believe in each other.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just because of those little mistakes? Like, those little mistakes happen, we lose. Yeah. But if those mistakes don't happen, we're the best team in the game. Like,
I mean, with T3. Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're T3, Major 3. We went 4-1. We had the number one seed. That's like, that tournament's a dub. If you're T3 and you're playing, and who knows what happens? We could be playing Toronto, and we could beat them, and we're in the grand final now. That's two grand finals and three tournaments. That's two grand finals and three tournaments. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's good. I mean,
that is.
And then we go 4-1 again. We're beating top teams to go 4-1. Like, we're playing against good teams. We're beating them. We're practicing well. So, like, for us, it's like, we know that potential is just like, we just can't execute at the tournament. And it's like, who do we bring in? Who can we bring in that's going to make us execute that's better than what we originally have? You know what I'm saying? Like, and we also have a brotherhood. Like, the way we are as a team, it's like, we're so close that, like, there's no, like, if something's on in our mind, if there's something going on, like, we tell each other immediately. Like, it's right then and there. There's no, like, you hold it in, you go back, you practice, but you're not telling the person how you really feel. Like, we're not like that. We're very straight up with each other. So, like, we have a very healthy team. Like, it's very healthy. There's no internal issues. Like, no one hates anyone. We're very close. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so close. Like, that's what's most important about us. And, like, even Lamar, he's teamed for, like, however long he's teamed, and he said he's never had a team like this where he feels so connected and as one, you know what I'm saying, which is very important. For us, we just needed to... If we just did what we needed to do and handled our business in those tournaments when we were up and we had the leads, I mean, bro, like, no one would be speaking about anything. You know what I'm saying?
And that's crazy that you say brotherhood, because you just said it, like, at Major 2, you didn't know what team you were going to be on. If you were going to be OptiPred, if you were still going to be on Seattle. Yep. And the fact that you were in Australia for a week and realized nothing was going to change, it's like you guys instantly picked it right back up like nothing ever happened, bro. So that brotherhood is definitely 100%. Strong. Keep going 2v2 strong in the basketballs.
Yes.
Chucking on Lamar Beattie, bro. Just keep that bond strong, because that bond is what's going to take you guys to that next level.
That being said, though, like, have you guys ever had a discussion of, like, yo, if this doesn't work, like, we will have to do something? Like, have you talked with management at all about it, or has it just always been, like, full trust in you guys? Like, are you guys, like, I don't want to, like, this is probably the wrong term, but, like, living in fairy tale land, or are you guys really honest about it and, like, realizing, like, if we don't find success in the next two tournaments, we'll probably end up breaking up?
No, honestly, like, I feel like during that OpTic situation, obviously my team was fully supportive of me. They knew that the opportunity to present it was huge, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, that's crazy. Opportunity.
So, like, they understood that. They were very supportive. Like, there was no bad blood between that. But I feel like the way we performed in Major 2 and how we were in such an S&D slump, like, we knew if we didn't turn it around for Major 3, like, it was going to be tough for us to stay. If we, like, went 1-4, came last, and then went 1-4 and came last again, I mean, there's no matter how tight the brotherhood is, you can't play together. I mean, obviously something's not working, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But we turned it around. We just came second at a tournament. OpTic stuff happened. Major 2 was a blowout, whatever. Major 3, we're like, all right, look, all this stuff's happened. We need to turn it around. We cannot perform like that again, or else this team is probably not going to stay. We all said that as a collective. We knew, like, that was not going to be, like, we're very upfront. We know. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to be like, oh my God, if we go 1-4, it's all good. We'll figure it out. Let's play the next tournament. Like, no, like, it's a short season. You have five tournaments, including champs. Like, there's no time to, like, you know, waste. You know what I'm saying? There's no wasting time.
Yeah.
So for us, we're very honest. And then obviously, you know, we picked it up. I mean, we went 4-1, secured first seed, and we're in a very good situation to be top three at that event. So.
And you guys are what, 2-1 right now, right? I think.
No, we're 1-2. We're 1-2.
Okay.
Yeah, 1-2. 1-2.
Tough matches first.
Yeah, I
cast one. That was a good one of you guys.
Yeah. Now, Toronto, we only had 2 days of practice. Like I said, I had to go back home after, so we didn't really get to even play the game. And obviously, they just had a bad qualifier last split, so they were going to come out with vengeance. So
yeah.
It was a tough game.
Yeah. That takes us into our next discussion right here, where obviously we've seen you guys at the beginning of the stage. You play against OpTic Texas, you get 3-0. Yep. You play against Toronto Ultra, you get 3-0. Then you play Boston Breach, you beat them 3-1.
Big win.
Is it a matchup thing? Do you think, like, there's certain teams that match up better than you guys, or there's certain teams that outmatch you guys? Because, like, some teams that are obviously like the OpTic Texas, who are one of the best hardpoint, if not the best hardpoint team in the game, they just look like a whole different level. But when you guys, say for instance, when you guys always play in Atlanta, every time on LAN, it's going to go all the way to the very end. But majority of the time it goes to Atlanta. Is it like a matchup thing? Who's your toughest guys that you guys go against?
Honestly, like, we've never had a bad matchup, but recently, recently Optic have been definitely because of their map pool. I feel like their map pool is very strong in hardpoint.
They have lockdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
They just have maps where they're just beating teams by 80 points every time. You know what I'm saying? It's like for them, the map pool is a bit tough, but everyone else is actually very good. But I feel like that's with everyone. Like Optic's map pool with everyone when it comes to that is pretty good because of just their record. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when we play FaZe, like, we love playing FaZe. I mean, we're happy to play FaZe. Like, we're happy to play FaZe. We match up well against them. We've played them so many times. Like,
yeah.
Thieves, we also like playing against them. They're a good control team, and we feel like we're a good control team as well. So, we tend to play against them as well. So, for us, we match up pretty well with every team. It just recently, like, Optic's hardpoint pool, which is very, like, wide and strong. Like, they have a really good hardpoint pool. So, for them, they just have a wide range of maps. So, that's, like, the only team that obviously brings a lot of issues because just of their map pool. But other than that, when it comes to like stuff like that, I feel like we're pretty confident.
So I want to ask you, like, from the majority of the season, I would say up until at the major and now, you guys are top three respawn team. Like,
yep.
You guys were, I was confident in picking you guys in the hard points or control versus basically anybody. What has happened? Like, in the respawns, is it just other teams like sort of catching up a little bit, or is it you guys put your focus elsewhere? Because I feel like Mac had these like pop off performances in the first two, three majors, like, where he's always been sort of the guy who's like a little bit inconsistent, but recently he's taken a bigger dip. But the team overall as a unit as well in respawn has taken a little bit of a dip. So why do you think that is?
Well, honestly, like I said, after Major 4, we had that massive break where we didn't play for like 12 days. And I came back, we had 2 days of practice, and we loaded into our qualifying match. So it's kind of teams picking up their intensity in practice because it's getting towards the end of the year, champs time. So everyone's trying to pick it up a notch, watching more VOD. They're getting better at respawn whilst we did nothing. We didn't even do anything for 12 days. We had 12 days of not competing whilst every day a team is playing.
It's hard to do, yeah.
It's hard to, like, they're getting ahead, you know. So they were getting ahead, and we were stuck at that same spot. So we've been trying to catch back up, you know what I'm saying? So for us, it's been like, we were just underprepared, honestly. And teams are just getting better. I mean, the league is so competitive. People are going to notice what's good, what's not. You know, they're going to all reflect on what's working, what isn't. And they're going to see what's good, and they're going to put it together in their own way. So the league is just super competitive. It's always evolving. So that's why you see a lot of different winners, a lot of people winning different tournaments, just because everyone's always making changes. And yeah, it's competitive, man.
So in your current form, do you feel like if you guys spawn into a major right now, like, realistically, you guys could win it? Deadass.
I mean, honestly, me personally, and I'm sure my team thinks the same, we're super confident, man. We know, like,
that's good.
When the backs are against the wall, like, I mean, bro, we could not play. We could have vetoed one map the whole year. We could, like, we're like dumb delusional where we could, like, load into that map and think we can win. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
We're just like, good. That's how we think. Yeah, we never load in thinking, oh no, like, we haven't played well in this map. Like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, we might even get slammed on that map. We might get 100 point club. Well, in our heads, like, we're going, like, as if we can win. So,
good.
So that's one thing I'm really happy about my team. We never have, we never shy away from the situation.
AG, are you guys nervous right now in your current situation in the point standings? You're sitting in that sixth spot.
Oh, they're good, ain't it?
Honestly,
they're technically like a highest out of all. You got Vegas, yeah. They're FZN at 150, but say, for instance, they bomb out and they lose the next couple of matches. But
honestly,
like,
the way
I'm confident enough to make sure you get your chance spot.
Yeah, no, I agree. The way I see it is like, if we don't make it and we are at this situation right now, we just, you know, don't get any points and every team does well. I mean, we just don't deserve to be there. Simple as that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, oh, damn, we got unlucky. Nah, man. Like, we had the chance to secure that. If we didn't, we don't deserve to be there. I mean, what's the point? Trying to get a champs, play eighth. And what, like, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to even win. Like, that's how I see it. Obviously, you want to make champs. You want to be super confident about it. But for me, it's like, we need to be playing at a level where we're competitive. So, I mean, if we make champs and we get to make a run in champs, I mean, that means we deserve that. We worked hard to get there. If not, then, you know, we fell short and we should be disappointed with ourselves.
So, all right, bet. So, to wrap up, like, this season, I guess, what's the plan for the rest of the season? Like, are there going to be any changes in terms of practice schedule or where the focus is sort of on? Does it change because champs is coming up? Like, talk to me about that.
Usually when it's champs time, I mean, you just pick up the VOD sessions a lot more. Like, you start doing, like, one in the morning and one at nighttime, you know what I mean? Start picking it up a notch. Definitely start, you know, because coming down to this crunch time, a lot of people and a lot of players and a lot of teams are going to have their own tendencies where there's things that they like to do. It's auto lock, you know, they're going to be doing that stuff no matter what. because that's what they make. That's what they, like when high pressure situations, you tend to do what you're most comfortable with. And so for us, it's just like a lot of odd sessions, noticing what's good, noticing what's bad, what to take, what to, you know, get rid of, just trying to like improve our game. You know what I mean? So that's the most important thing. So definitely just improving the WOD work and taking the intensity and practice to another level.
So obviously you still got to focus on this year, but I just wanted to know, are you on like a 1+ or a 2+1, or like how's your contract? Like, where can you give that info out? Like, are you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, after this season, I'm going to be a free agent. So
you're about to get the bag, brother.
So once this season finishes, I'm going to be a free agent. So that means obviously I'll be able to go to whatever team, whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm FA. So, yeah,
so what are your, what are your goals though? Like, obviously you want to win. Would you like take pay cuts in order to get a dub? Like, or like, you know, like what's your mentality when it comes to that?
Honestly, it depends. Like, it has to really depend. Obviously, winning is number one. I mean, I feel like winning and, like, the future. You want to make sure that... because the decision I make is probably going to be for the next 3 years, right? I'm probably going to sign something like that. So, for me, it's very important to make sure that I make the decision best for my future. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, your life and your
exactly,
and your
like,
status,
the next 3 years is important, man. Like, I don't want to make a wrong decision. I don't want to jump into something that I'm not fully confident in. So for me, I have to understand the surroundings and how everything is going to work. And I want to make sure that I make the best decision possible because, like I said, it's very important. I just want to be in a good support system where I know I can strive and where my team can win. I want to win. I want to get a ring. I want to make my own legacy. I don't want to just be like a Bradley Beal or something like that. I want to be able to like win tournaments, win championships. You know what I'm saying?
Great
like,
comparison. That's me. Not going to take a bag and be on a shit team. I love that.
Yes.
But... yes. So if Seattle kind of comes at you and you guys play well, you got a top three or something at champs and they match every offer you get from everywhere else. Like, would you be willing to like stay with like this roster, or are you kind of like just in the mode of like, I'm going to entertain basically anything at the end of the season?
I mean, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, that's obviously like a big what if, you know, depending on how we do at champs and, you know, the offer that I get from Surge and stuff like that, all that kind of stuff. It all depends. It's all a big question mark. It's honestly all going to unravel in the next couple months, next month, sorry. So, yeah, it's all going to be a waiting. Right now, it's a waiting game. It's just see what happens, you know what I'm saying? But, like I said, I'm going to make the best decision I can, that's for sure.
Got a crazy couple of months coming up, my brother. You're going to have to be on point, man. Make sure you're out there playing some ball, like doing some meditating. 100%, 100%. Like, it's going to be, you got a crazy couple of years coming, or a couple months coming up.
Yeah.
So, AG. Let's take a step into the future, right? Let's go 20 years in. When you look back at your Call of Duty career, what do you want it to look like? Like, what is Pred's resume when he's done playing Call of Duty? Because 2 years in, you're already Rookie of the Year. You won an MVP at a tournament. You have yet to win one this year. But whenever you're done playing Call of Duty and you got to look back at all the stats that pop up, what do you want that to look like for you?
I want it to look like that. You know, I left that I was on a dynasty squad. I want to be on a dynasty team. I want to be on a dynasty team. And I want to also be, like, recognized as one of the best SMG players to ever play the game. Like, I want to be noticed as the player that no one could replicate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was my own guy, you know? Like, I was that. Like, he was him. Like, no one played like him. He was that guy. What he'd done, no one else could do. I want to be like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be on a dynasty squad and my status and my legacy to be known as, like, like I said, one of the best SMG players.
You're so young. You're only second year into the league. Like, how many rings you want to get? Because you know that's how you cement yourself in Call of Duty.
Yeah, 100%.
You gotta get a ring, bro. So you get a ring, and you saying you want to be on a dynasty. A dynasty is like winning a couple tournaments in a row, bro. So
I mean, I want to win as much as I can. I want to play as long as I can. I'm only 21. I got plenty left in the tank, man. So I want to get that going now. I'll be honest. I just want to start as soon as I can. I mean, I want to start winning now and just start stacking them up. Get that cabinet
filled up.
Get it filled up. There you go. All right, bet. I'm excited to see how that unravels going forward, but also more excited to just see how you guys bounce back. I feel like you guys are a pretty cool story. I think you guys are getting a lot of hate right now. by the community and stuff. It's weird, ain't it? Like that people literally get frustrated that you don't make a roster change. Like I've been frustrated with some teams not making roster changes, but that's if they're like literally bottom of the barrel and don't have like talented players and the clear is not working. Yeah. But you guys, like, there's an argument as to why you should keep your team. It's weird, isn't it? How the community sort of like would be like, we demand it. Like,
I know. No, it's honestly like people just don't understand like our camp. And I mean, we don't have to explain everyone what we do and how we operate our camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everyone has to know that.
Yeah, not
so for us, it's like, obviously people are going to hate, people are going to disagree with our decisions and stuff like that. For us, it's just mostly important to make sure that doesn't come inside our camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to make sure everything stays outside. So for us, people can say what they want. Everyone has their own opinions. You know, it is what it is. I mean, any sport, anything, people always have stuff to say. You just got to ignore it, man, and just keep rolling with your team. And like I said, just all that matters is what's inside the camp.
So we got a couple more topics to get through. I know we're coming up here on time, but I wanted to ask you sort of about the rest of the league and get Pred's take on some of these things. What do you think are like the current best players in your mind? Not community perception, in your mind. Like, you go up against me like, this guy's nasty. Who is it? Like, give me like three or four people you look at and you're like, that guy's gross.
I think I'd say MC Celium.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a high kill. Me and him don't really get into gunfights with each other because the way we play, we kind of avoid each other. Yeah. But I just notice him always doing well. MC Abizi, me and Abizi have insane gunfights all the time. Like, me and him have insane gunfights. Hydra as well. Me and Paco have insane gunfights. I mean, you could probably ask him. Every time me and him have a gunfight, we always talk about it. It's like, one of us is always like 1 HP. It's always like, it's like he never walks around, kills me, and it's like, it's a free kill. It's always like me and him, we always make each other 1 HP, and we always joke about it when we see each other at tournaments and stuff. But that's him, and I'd say Shotzi as well. I'll say Amp, because the way Amp plays is like
a rat.
It's Ant gets like, I'm usually lost in their base and Ant's usually lost in our base. So it's like, it's a battle of like who's staying lost the most and who's impacting that side of the map more. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's maybe getting too, I gotta try like get a kill now and relieve some pressure. Like, so I noticed that with Ant. But yeah, definitely those players I noticed the most for sure.
Bro, Jay.
So those are your tough matchup, but who are your easy matchup?
Hold on, before that, I just wanted to say, after hearing you say those names, I'm like, we got the sub duel, we got Shotzi, Hook, right? We got Abizi and Simp. No disrespect to Mac, because I think Mac is an underrated player, but man, you and Hydra would be a nasty ass. He mentioned it earlier. I was like, I would love to see that duo like to be teaming up. It'd be crazy. No disrespect to Big Kizzy either, because I know the Bulldog's nice. He is nice. But I won't have you unpack that one. Bro. Yeah, it was the easy
matchup.
Honestly,
like,
you look at them on the map, you just be like, you seriously challenging me, bro? Like,
I'll be honest. I'm actually going to say Slasher.
Yo, listen, I knew we would get along because I felt like that too. Unbelievable.
When I see Slasher on the map, I just have a tendency of just being like, bro, it's Slasher, just challenge him. You know what I'm saying? Like, But Austin's my boy, but definitely him. I don't know, for some reason I just have like a delusional ego against him, because I feel like the way he plays, it's like he hates when subs run up close to him and just get like those close range gunfights with him. So I think he hates like having that situation happen. So, and I tend to try to make that happen to him as much as I can.
What about Clay? Do you feel the same way when you match up with Clay?
Clay's actually the quickest main AR. I feel like he flies, bro. Like, I feel like he's flying. Yeah,
faster than Scrap?
Yeah, he's like up there. I think Clay flies personally.
Yeah, he does. He's pretty quick.
Yeah, he's pretty quick. But yeah, for me, definitely Slash. Slash is up there for me, for sure.
Well, I ask you about Clay because I want to know, there's obviously a big bubble race that maybe you guys put a little bit of attention to just because of the rut you guys are in and the points and stuff. But you got the big win over Boston, so you're kind of chilling. But looking down at that bubble, we got Minnesota and we got Vegas. It's been crazy, brother. Like, who do you think is going to make it in? Obviously, Afro got benched for Attach today.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that was going to happen.
What's your thoughts on that real quick?
Yeah, they put Fame on sub now, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't know that was going to happen. I was kind of mind blown by that. But at the same time, I think Vegas, It's tough. I think Vegas are heading in the right direction. You know, Vegas are definitely heading in the right direction. You know, TJ and Don, they're my guys. So, you know, I hope they end up playing well. But obviously, I get to have to play them this weekend. So, and I know it's a big match for them. But those two are my guys. So I hope to see them in Vegas. You know, we're going to have some fun in Vegas. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure. It's a tight race, man. I feel like it's very competitive right now. It's 10, 20 points difference between a lot of teams. And
but you guys play Vegas, right? That's your...
Yeah.
Ooh, you got to play spoiler. And now that's a big one for you guys. Do you guys... I don't remember last time y'all matched up. Have y'all played this game? You must have, right?
Major 2 match qualifier 1, I think, something like that.
How'd that go?
I think they beat us 3-2.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they beat us 3-2.
That was when y'all were terrible. Y'all were ass at S&D, right?
Oh, yeah. We were like, we got Nezla by everyone.
One of the best S&D team in the game. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I also wanted to ask you, you know, talking about the rest of the league, in terms of like teams, who do you feel like is your hardest competition? Not the best team in the game, just like the hardest matchup for you guys. Is it FaZe? Is it Optic? Like, which one?
The hardest matchup I would say is honestly would be tough. I don't know. Honestly, like I said, it'd probably be Optic just because of how good their hardpoint map pool is. Mm-hmm. I feel like their hardpoint map pool is really good. I mean, they're a really good Fortress team, which we also think we're good at, but they've obviously been elevated their game extremely on that. So I feel like just simply Optic just because of their hardpoint pool.
Do you think Ghosty was like a big reason to why they're now finding a lot of success ever since he was added to the team? Like, they basically look unbeatable in that mode. Is he the main reason why?
100%. He's not, I wouldn't say the main reason, I would say it's a collective, but he's definitely a huge impact on their team. I feel like his comms and his dedication and all that type of stuff, you know, it's a big chance for him. So he's obviously doing as much as he can. So big props to him for, you know, taking that role and, you know, making the most of it.
Oh yeah. All right. So now it's time for the most fun part of the show. It is the friendly fire segment. We're going to ask you a couple of series of either ors. It's going to be these players in their prime and who you're taking. So, Jay, why don't you kick it off? Hey, you got the first four. Start it off, my brother.
All right. So here we go, AG. Friendly fire segment. Who you taking in their prime? Crimsix or Clayster to start it off?
Crimsix.
No question. Insta. Like, that was insta.
I mean, Crim was fine.
I just remember seeing him play Ghost sometimes, and he was insane.
He was pretty fun.
Yeah, he was annoying to play against in Ghost, bro.
People hate on Crim, but the actual, like, if we're taking strictly, like, prime, that player on his best day and his best moment, Crim was unreal, bro. Yeah. Jay, we experienced this. I mean, we got 6-0. We got in the final. Bro. We got 6-0.
In the final, like, and they was in losers bracket, bro. Like,
well, I was talking about the final after that, where we got 6-0.
we got slammed everywhere when we played that. All right, so that takes us into the next one, brother. Another set of world champions. Who are you taking in their prime? Attach or Parasite?
I'll take Attach.
Why?
I feel like Dylan's maybe been like better in like more games as they've gone. Like, I don't know. I feel like Dylan. I didn't really watch that much of Black Ops 2, so I don't know how good Parasite was. Mm-hmm. But I'm just gonna take Dylan. I know he won AW champs. He was like the youngest ever champs winner. So, you know, he had to have been pretty good, you know what I'm saying? So
he was great.
I'll take Dill.
All right.
Okay. So now that takes us to the next one. Who you taking in their prime? I don't really know if you got a chance to at least watch one guy when he was playing, but I definitely know you watched the other. You taking Spacely, Mikey, or you're taking Fellow?
Is that a good matchup? So I'm saying.
Oh my god, I actually don't know. I might have to take my boy Space.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike.
Just Space. Don't let him have Heat Wave.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know, you team and Mike, bro, he always sound like he raging, bro. He's one shot, bro. His monotone voice, bro. I'm like,
I know,
that's
bro.
He's tilting, bro.
I can't play Tugo with him. He's always sound like he's crying all the time.
All the time, bro.
I'll be like, yo, Mike, you got to chill, bro. You got to chill. Yes, but all right, last one for me. We got two of some dominant SMGs in their own rights. We're going to take, who you taking? TJ Halley or Kismet?
I'm gonna take Man, this is tough. I'm gonna have to take TJ as my boy.
Okay.
Okay. Is that, but remember, like, this is Call of Duty. Why are you taking TJ over Kiz? Like,
I feel like Kiz is really good, but I feel like TJ is just better at S&D.
Yeah. I don't know. Kizma's kind of a dog in Surge too.
Yeah, he is too, bro.
I'll give TJ the edge there.
TJ's been a good S&D player.
He's always been a good S&D player. Yeah. That's his history.
All right. My turn. All right. We got four more. Temp, Prime Temp or Prime Killer?
I'll get Prime done. I didn't really get to watch Prime Killer, to be honest.
I'm taking Prime Sloth. I love my guy Don, but Prime Sloth was dead.
Really?
Yeah, they had a three-peat. Prime Sloth had a three-peat in a world championship. Mm-hmm. He was godlike.
Man, really? He was hard when he was winning championships, bro. Like,
oh, wow. Well, maybe, maybe Killer it is then. I've never been the same player,
I've done it. All right, here we go. Prime Hydra, bro, I guess now, or Prime Shotzi, now.
Damn, that's tough. I'd have to say Prime Shotzi, just simply because Ant's won champs. You know, Ant's always been, you know, at that top level at a consistent time. So I'd definitely take Ant just simply because of his results, you know?
Okay. Here's the hardest one. Well, maybe second hardest. The last one's going to be the hardest. Prime Abizi or Prime Skump?
Oh. I'm going to have to take Seth. Prime Seth, AW.
AW Seth?
Yeah.
That's the only person I can put up against him is Prime Abizi.
Prime Abizi's right now, bro. Like,
yeah.
Nah, Abe is gross. Abe is definitely gross. But I'm just taking Seth just because of his dominance. I mean, Seth was dominating for a long time.
Yeah, and you can't give Abe that kind of gas right now.
Yeah, you still play against him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Like that, you know? At least he's retired now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Right. The last one, and we might end the show instantly if this is wrong answer. Prime LeBron or Prime Michael Jordan?
Oh man, that's tough. I'm gonna take MJ there.
There we go. Oh, smart man. I always knew Pred was a smart.
You understand? AG was sitting there on YouTube typing in Michael Jordan highlights. All he seen was the good. You wasn't even born when he was playing.
It doesn't matter, bro.
I'm just taking 6 out of 6.
Facts.
If LeBron wins another ring at age 38,
there's an argument. I think
he takes it. I'll be honest.
He takes it.
Yeah, I mean, bro, Jordan at 35 was playing the Wizards and he was doing nothing. I mean,
yeah, but Jordan was also drinking Bud Lights and smoking cigars before
exactly,
games.
Exactly, but like, yeah, that's true. But that's what I'm saying. Like that, like. LeBron's been playing for so long. Like, if he wins another ring, the only thing that stops him is just like all the championships he lost. I mean, he lost to a Mavericks team.
Yeah.
I had no one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, MJ is taking that game. MJ is taking that series in his prime. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, by himself, respectfully, like to LeBron, like MJ's loading in against the Mavs, and he's taking that series at his prime.
For sure, he was div. I'm so glad you just spit facts. Or Jay's
that's
hurting
like
right
that
now.
Series. That oh, series. Shit. If LeBron wins that series, then for me, then it changes. But like he lost that series where I know MJ's taken.
Yeah, and one of LeBron's wins in the bubble. Like, there's just some things that like you know hold him back from being the GOAT. Yeah, I love that Pred gave that answer.
We got NFL episode. NFL episode.
All right. Before we dwell on it, I know there's a game going on right now. We all get to go watch LeBron. I appreciate you, Pred. I'm glad I got to chat with you, man. We've never had an extended convo. Looking forward to getting to hang out one of these events. Hopefully, you guys find some success going forward and watching your career unfold to this point has been unbelievable. And I'm sure it's gonna be even better going forward. Any closing thoughts from you, Jay?
Yeah, nah, AG, I just want to say thank you for coming on to the show, bro. You know you're my guy, bro. Keep rolling with that confidence, you know. Even though your team tells you to be humble in the situation, it's good to pound in your chest all the time. Like that guy, bro. So just keep doing you. I wish you nuts and success for the rest of the year, and appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you guys, man. Have a good day, man. Appreciate you guys.
No problem. And to everybody watching, make sure you leave a like and leave 5-star review on the podcast networks. Until next time, guys, we'll see you in the next episode. Peace.